everyone, and welcome to Another Bite, where we rewatch the most innovative and intriguing pitches from Shark Tank. I'm Jory, and I'm joined by Ariel.
How's it going?
And John.
Hey, everybody.
Tis the skeezin' to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la-la. Oof. With a silence and a reaction like that, it's all downhill from here. Well, in wintertime, it's powder to the people, because when you're skiing, there's no such thing as too much snow, as long as you don't get lost or lose all your friends on a mountain, which sounds either like the beginning of a horror novel or a fantastic new innovation for the sharks. Have we piqued your interest yet? We'll get into it after this sponsored break. Teams everywhere are dealing with a serious problem, a productivity problem. Don't worry, HubSpot's customer platform can help. No more time-consuming tasks, no more chasing down prospect info, no more one system for this, another for that. HubSpot helps you find leads, reach prospects, and deliver the insights to convert them to customers, all in one place. Make your productivity problem no problem at all. Visit HubSpot.com to learn how they can help you grow better. So today in the tank, we have Reki, and Reki is brought to us by founders Henry, David, and Fletcher. And Reki is our smart snow goggles with a heads-up display on the shield lens. So it's basically like, if you can imagine Google goggles in ski goggles form, it's sort of like that. But what's being projected on the lens is sort of a map that helps you find missing friends as you're skiing or snowboarding, checking time, answering texts, or even listening to music. So we've got quite the gadget. They are asking for $300,000 for 10% in Reki, which is a $3 million valuation. And thinking of our founders, thinking of our product and our pitch, initial thoughts of Reki.
Hopefully they don't get into a Reki.
Oh.
Distracted driving, distracted skiing.
I think we're done talking about Reki. I think Ariel just nailed it.
And for those reasons, she's out.
Okay. My first reaction when they explained what the product was, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be huge. Families are going to love this. You know, forever families have been skiing and the hardest part is staying in touch with each other. And everyone's always having to take off their gloves. And it used to be walkie-talkies and then everyone got phones. And I was like, Reki's going to just totally solve that problem. But then I saw the implementation of it and I learned some details about it and I became much, much, much more bearish on Reki. So a couple things kind of stood out to me. Number one, as pitched, it sounded like, wow, I'm going to have this interactive overlay map that's going to let me see where people are and locate them. In reality, it kind of looked like the inside of like what I perceive a fighter jet cockpit to look like. You know, it had like some coordinates on it and stuff like that. And I was like, do you have it there? Is that a...
This is in fact a fighter cockpit.
Oh, of course. You're
so I'm glad.
Married to a man who flies these things.
Anyway.
Yes.
Can confirm.
Maybe your husband would be able to use a Reki to locate his friend. Yeah. I don't think I'd be able to use it. I'd be like, I have no idea where I'm going. I'm just lost. And I'd be blinking and blinking. It would change the music. And I'd be like, oh, I didn't mean to change the music. And then I'd text
like
somebody.
Full blast. And,
yeah, yep. It'd be not good.
Yeah.
And so that was one thing. And the other thing that made me really concerned about it was they've spent $200,000 to develop this product. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wow, I bet this is like hard tech to develop. And I was like, it only costs $200,000 to build this? I mean, that's like nothing. It only costs $200,000 to build this technology. Anybody could build it. Mm. And so I don't think they have a particularly defensible product through that lens.
You know how like they say when you price wine, you got to price it higher and then people think it's better wine. This feels very much like software wine, John.
Software wine.
My concern about how much they've spent to build it is that that means it's not hard to build.
Fair. Okay.
It seems like if it only costs $200,000 to build this system, why doesn't Solomon just build it? Like that's nothing to them. Like they could just put it in their goggles.
But aren't you inspired by the idea of bootstrapping a business? They've had to raise no capital, but in turn, they've given no equity away.
Yeah.
That's great for the owners of the company, not necessarily for someone who wants to invest in it and decide if I'm going to get a return on an investment. I'm not criticizing them for only spending $200,000 or bootstrapping. Mm-hmm. You know what I say, bootstrap it if you got it, you know?
I want that on a coffee mug.
Another Bite coffee mugs. Just bootstrap it if you got it.
But look. John, devil's advocate, they made $175,000 in sales in one season, which is essentially what they put in.
And it's the only product on the market like this right now.
Just seems like not a great product, and it seems not that hard to build.
But it comes with a dedicated app, which is hard to build.
This is what Barbara's problem was. She's like, it's not that good. It's like, doesn't even have the trails on it.
It's very early on, right?
Yes.
Yeah, my two concerns are that the actual execution doesn't seem as good as I was hoping it was going to be based on the hype. Mm. I think the hype had me sold. Mm-hmm. I think the execution in terms of what the actual interface looked like, what was actually available in terms of what it could do, how easy it would be to use wasn't there.
But maybe it's just me being from a family of skiers that are advanced skiers that married not advanced skiers. But even just knowing the direction that people are in, as a skier, I didn't see that much of an issue with having at least a compass to be like, hey, your loved one is over there.
Yeah, but how much would you pay for it knowing where they are?
I would say that I'm in the premium price point that I will pay a fair dollar for really good gear. So like if the goggles were that good, in addition to having some kind of built-in function, the price point to me didn't seem absolutely absurd.
Yeah, I will say the market that they're in is very good. And I think that is good for them. And I think that they're one of the first to come to market with something like this. And I would imagine that there will be a lot of early adopters.
And people with higher incomes typically ski.
It's expensive.
Yep.
So that's really good. I mean, throwing $500 on a pair of goggles for some families who ski is probably not even a drop in the bucket. So that is a good thing for them. They probably have a high willingness to pay market. And maybe you're right, Jory, even some direction is good enough for the market and meets the market need. It just falls short for me.
And I know it's like geared towards adults and friends, but the first use case that came to my mind is like your kids.
Yeah, families. That's what I
thought
too.
What if your kids want to go tubing and then you go skiing instead? So like to have a locator for your child specifically, I feel like is probably huge for parents.
Definitely.
Those same families, though, that would buy these goggles have already purchased their children iPhones and have family sharing on for location services. So it's like, yes-ish, you know.
That's fair. I don't know. Ultimately, this kind of lukewarm temperature I'm feeling for these goggles reflected.
Ariel loves
in
them. I'm just
playing devil's advocate, John.
Sure, Ariel. Yeah.
I've never been skiing.
Oh, in my life. Interesting.
So I'm not the audience.
Okay,
for
so
this.
You're not even the audience. No. John, do you ski or snowboard?
I have the capability to ski, but I'm not an active skier very often.
Well, we had two major deals on the table. So Lori was out because she's like, I'm not in it with this cold weather sporting.
Same.
And Barbara was like, I can't actually use it to the degree I'd want to. Again, I think it's really difficult because each of the ski mountains is owned by different conglomerates. Mm-hmm. And without partnerships immediately with all of them, you just would have no access to these trail maps. So
Google has it all. It's all in the Google Maps API. I feel like you can just go and look at the map and see the trails. I'm looking at the map. This is Stone Mountain. Those are the chairlifts, each named, and each trail is named on the map.
Dang, that's actually really cool.
It's just like
cool.
It's there. It's just there. It's just this is like you're getting like a fighter pilot helmet with GPS location for family members when meanwhile you can look at your phone and you can see what trail someone's on with location services.
Yeah, then you gotta like pull your phone out of your pocket, take your gloves off, and then your hand gets cold. And it's
that
like,
sucks. It's just that's the bar. Like, I get it. I don't want to take my hands out of my gloves.
If you're gonna be a vitamin, you gotta be a proper vitamin or a painkiller and choose your lane.
Can't be a standalone.
Yeah, you can't be a standalone unit. So ultimately, Kevin offered $300,000 for 20% with distributions of 20 cents for every dollar taken as income. So that's quite a royalty ask. Mark offered $300,000 for 15%, but they said that they wouldn't go higher than 12%. And then they've had this sort of aside where they're like, in case for future military and police use. And it was at that moment that I was like, oh, you're not trying to sell ski goggles. You're trying to sell software. Ultimately, Mark took that on the chin, was like, that's fine, and won the bid for $300,000 for 12.5%. But I feel like that was an aside that was just really brushed over by the show because it was clear that they had aspirations for more government use. So we'll see where Recce goes because this is the case of another episode that just came out. So unclear where this company is going, but you know, maybe with Mark, they have future military and police sales.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk about that market a lot. It's like kind of like a passe market to talk about, like the military industrial complex. But boy, is it one of the largest markets in the world.
Yep.
And
military contractors.
You can morally disagree with that.
But the numbers don't lie.
Sure.
Yeah. From a business perspective, it is a really, really large market if you want to get into it.
So TBD on the future of Recce, but you can still buy them. They're still very much for sale for $349 at an internet near you. They don't sell them in stores.
So is it your recommendation?
Oh, I love that. What are your recommendations for marketing this?
Yeah, this one's a little
okay,
tricky.
Okay, but John, whether or not you like it, you got to market it. So go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, if I'm the marketer, I'm the marketer. I'm actually pretty torn on what the best thing for them to do is, whether to go wholesale it into retailers or whether to just sell it online. On the one hand, online, I think they're going to be able to demo the product.
Video.
It's visual, and so you'd be able to like show it. I think the value prop is actually pretty clear and understandable pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I bet that you could build some pretty precise targeting to reach those people. Although I do think there's power of being in store at all these luxury resorts. Absolutely. And just like having the display, paying the money to have the display, taking a lower cut for it would probably gain them a lot of credibility and traction. Whereas online, people might be like, is this like legit? Mm-hmm. Like, what am I buying here? You know,
I was thinking that too, or almost like rentals first at those ski resorts. So at least you try them out and like they have a preloaded map already of the area and try it out and then return them back. And then if you want to purchase one afterwards, they have a small little display. But I was thinking more in the rental route.
Interesting.
Consider those our official recommendations, Ricky. Today's episode was brought to you by the magnanimous Matthew Brown. Editing comes from Robert Hartwig and support from Melanie Romero. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, or wherever you subscribe to the greatest podcasts ever. That does it for me. See you in the tank next week for another bite. I want to take a break to tell you about a podcast coming to the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. It's called The Next Wave, AI and the Future of Technology. It's hosted by Matt Wolf and Nathan Lands. AI technology is transforming the way we do business, and the media landscape is currently fragmented. The Next Wave is leading the pack on AI technology and how you can apply it to growing your business. Matt and Nathan are leading AI creators and your guiding light in the AI and technology frontier. Listen to The Next Wave wherever you get your podcasts.